We begin the current daf and start the sukkah daf chav beis. We begin on the top of the yomid, where the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahis and these first two parakim of Masech the sukkah, talking about the halachas of a sukkah and how one fulfills his chiv. So the Mishnah tells us, sukkah ha-meduvlelas, which the Gemara later on is going to explain exactly what does this term meduvlelas mean, and v'shetzilasa merubim mechamasa, if the sukkah has, that it has provides more shade than sunlight, then gesher, such a sukkah is going to be kosher. Now, Rashi quickly jumps and asks that it seems to be difficult that we already have in the first mission in the Masechta that already told us this halacha that chamasa merubim tzilasa is pasul, that if it has more sunlight than shade is going to be invalid. Why does this mission have to repeat it and say that the reverse is true, that when you have more shade than sunlight it's going to be kosher? So actually Rashi says that not only is it not the same halacha, actually they're contradictory in their indications in regards to when it's not more, when it's just equal. And the Gemara is going to resolve that, and therefore it's not actually repeating it. Actually, it's contradictory, and it's going to be teaching us a specific lesson regarding what's the halacha when it's not more one than the other, but rather when it's the same. Mishnah continues and tells them, when you have the schach is as thick as that of a house, where the schach is very thick, even though it feels like you're in a house, you can't even see the stars through the schach, still kasher, it's going to be kasher, it's still going to be considered a sukkah, and not a house. Now the Gemara asks, my meduvlelas, what does it mean, meduvlelas, that our Mishnah is saying such a sukkah is going to be kosher? So we have machlekes. Amar Rav, Rav says, sukkah aniyah, it's a reference to a sukkah that's like, so to speak, poor. What that means is that there's very little schach, very little sticks that are what one has for the schach. Now, since there's a lot of ear, however, since there is not more than a distance of 3 tefachim from each piece of schach, so based on the halachas of Lavid, we see that closed. Such a sukkah is going to be kasher. Ushmul Amar Shmul says, kana oilav kana yari. This term of meduvlelis means that you have one reed higher up and one reed lower down. That is, he didn't put the schach straight together on the same plane, one side by side. Rather, one was higher, one was lower. Now, because of that, what ended up being is that it's going to have more sunlight, more chama, than the tzilasa, than the shade. Now, although generally, as we said in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that such a sukkah generally is going to be pasul, regarding that, as we'll explain, we say a halacha called a term of rayin, that we view it. Had they have been placed together on the same plane, it would have been tzilasa, merubim chamasa, would have been more shade, because you really have enough schach. You just didn't put it down appropriately. You had one higher, one lower. But since had you put it all together, it would have been tzilasa merubim chamasa. That's the chiddush, that the way Shmuel is explaining this halacha of meduvlelas, that it's going to be kosher. Now, by way of explanation for these two definitions of meduvlelas, of Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara explains. Rav tani chada, Rav learns our Mishnah is really telling us one case. Meduvlelas and the halacha of tzilasa merubim chamasa are going on one halacha, one type of sukkah. Ushmuel tani, however, Shmuel is learning in our Mishnah that tarti, there are two different sukkahs that our Mishnah is saying are kosher, as the Gemara explains. Rav Tanichade, Rav is saying really one case is what our Mishnah is saying. And that is, the Mishnah is telling us a sukkah, which is aniya, which means meduvlelis, as the Gemara explains, my meduvlelis, what does this mean, meduvlelis? According to Rav's interpretation, it means meduldelis. And that is many times there's that transfer of different letters. In this context, meduvlelis is really meduldelis. Now, the word meduldelis is a double of dal, which means to say it's meager, it's very poor. That's the halacha of what Rav was explaining. It means a sukkah aniyah, where on that is what the Mishnah is saying, if it's shetzilasa berubim chamasa, now it's a sukkah aniyah, which means a very little schach. So there's less than 3 tefachim, so you'll see it as closed. However, there's still another problem. You can't have chamasa berubim tzilasa in any type of sukkah. So that is what the Mishnah is saying, that if it's shalat salasim rubim chamasa, then it's going to be ksheira. So although we'll allow a sukkah aniyah, it doesn't have so much shach, but as long as it's going to be salasim rubim chamasa, it's going to be kosher, that's one case. Shmuel tani tarte. Rabbi Shmuel learns, the Mishnah is telling us two different halachas. My meduvlelis, according to him, according to Shmuel, what's meduvlelis? It's mivulvelis. Not like the way Rav said, meduldelis, aloshen dal. Here it's aloshen of bal, of bilbil, which means that it's all mixed up. You have kana oila, kana yarid, you don't have it straight where you would have a proper salasa merim chamasa. Now it's one high, one lower, it's chamasa merim salasa. Vitarte katani, and the Mishnah is telling us two different halachas, two different cases. That is sukkah mivulveles is kshera. This mixed up sukkah where you have schach up and schach down, There it's going to be kosher because we say rayin. We say that although it's chamasa now, it's more sunlight than shade, but we see it as if it would be appropriately in one plane, then it would be chamasa meruba, and therefore it's kosher. And a different halacha, v'tilasa berum chamasa, regarding a case which was really Rav's case of midoldeles, which is when you have a sukkah aniyah, where there you have a lot of sunlight, but if you have tilasa meruba, then kosher, then it's going to be kosher. So again, really, Shmuel is having Rav's case and another case, because he's considering Rav's case as the second half of the Mishnah, of even though you have very little schach, which is the case of what Rav is describing as aniyah, but if you have more tzilasa, then it's going to be kosher. But midvleles, he learns out a different case, not midvleles, but mivvleles, where it's mixed up, which is a chiddush in kana alakar niyarit, even if you have chamasim ruba, which is generally a psul in any sukkah, but here we would say, right, we view it as if it's down together, which would then make it tzilasa meruba, it would have more shade than sunlight, and therefore it's going to be kosher, even though now, technically speaking, you're really having more sunlight than shade. Now, however, Omar Bai Abai qualifies, and he says, Lo Yishana, we didn't learn this halach of Shmuel, the way he's describing our Mishnah, these two cases, specifically the case of Meduvlelis, when you have Kana Oyle Kana Yared, you have a reed higher or reed lower, where it's going to be kosher, where we say Rayin, because we say we view it as if they're all together. That was Elo She'ein Benzela Zesh Leshet Vacham. That was only if there wasn't more than a space of the higher sticks to the lower sticks, where there when everything, when we say less than three Tvachim, then we say that we view it as one. That's always the concept of Lovet. Aviyesh Benzela Zegim Tvachim Psula. But even Shmuel would agree that if you would have these sticks more than three tefachim away from each other, then it's going to be possible. Then we wouldn't say that we view it as one, and that what the term of rayin, and then it would be possible because you have ultimately chamasim ruba mitzilasa. However, Amar Rava, Rava requalifies that statement, and he says no. Afili yesh bin zelazeh shlesha tefachim nami. Even if there is going to be a gap of more than three tefachim from the lower sticks to the higher sticks of the schach, where we're loyamar, we didn't say that then it's going to be puzzle, because you're right, there's not going to be love it anymore, but that would only be puzzle elisha'im begagai, only if the roof, which is a reference to the higher beams, to the higher sticks, to the higher pieces of schach, only if those higher ones, which we're calling the roof, doesn't have a width of tefach, where then if it doesn't have the thickness, the width of a tefach, then it doesn't have the designation of what's called an ogil on it, for it to be considered chashuv, distinct, and to say the following halachic principle that we're going to apply, which is called chavit rami, which basically means to say that chavit means to lower it down, and rami means to throw it on, then you throw it on to the ear space, which is beneath it, which, as Rashi explains, is similar to the concept that we've described in previous dafim of pitikra and gur aches, which basically means to say that we view that what there of the wall is ready to be extended down. Rashi just explains the differences regarding a machitza, which is a vertical, that you have the edge of the wall. So you could say gut aches, that you view it as extending downward. However, here where we're talking about something that's horizontal, that we have to take that whole entire thing and lower that thing to close up the ear space between those open pieces of the schach, there it applies more appropriately the term of chavata, of lowering it down, instead of the term of gut aches, but it's similar in concept. So that is what Rav is saying, that you write Abaya, it would be possible, even according to Shmuel, of this halach of kana oyle kana yared, if there's more than three tefachim, but that's only if the higher sticks of the schach are not a tefach wide. Aviyesh begagui tefach, but if the roof, what we're calling the higher kanas that are oyla, if they have a thickness of a tefach, then ksheira, then the sukkah is going to be kasher. And the reason is, damrinan chavoit remi, because we say this halachic principle of lower and throw it on. And as Rashi explains, obviously that would only apply if there are three tefachim or more. Because if there are less than three tefachim, then you don't have to say the halachic principle of chavoit, because that's as if it's actually there. You don't have to lower it. Again, based on the halachic principle of lovet, we see it as close as if they're touching. It would only apply that you need it to be a tefach wide if they're more than the height of three tefachim from the lower piece of schach. Now, Amar Rava, Rava follows this up and he says, Minam minila. From where do I know this? When there is a thickness of a tefach for the higher piece of the schach, then we're going to say that we lower it and put it in to plug up the holes and make it a kosher schach. But when there is not a thickness of a tefach, then we wouldn't say chavoit rami. And then when there's more of a distance of three tefachim, then this is going to be possible even according to Shmuel. Where do I know this from? Then now, like we learned in Mishnah Mesechtas Olis, says Kairis Habayis V'Aliyah, the beams of the house, which means the first floor, and the Aliyah is the second story, is the upper part of the house. So regarding those beams, She'ein aleihem aziva, that if it doesn't have plaster on them, now, and it also includes that it doesn't have nails, it doesn't have anything. Now, the reason why I picked plaster was because generally, if you didn't put plaster, that means you didn't nail it in either. Now, if you have these beams, so you have beams holding up the ceiling of the first floor, and then you have beams holding up the ceiling of the second floor. Now, so regarding these beams, if v'hein mechuvanis, if they're parallel, they're directly one on top of the other. You have the upper beams, which are directly on top of the lower beams, and they create an oil one on top of the other. So then the halacha is as follows. Tumah tachas achas behen, if there is tumah, let's say a corpse under one of them, let's say under one of the lower beams, then the halacha is tachteo tameh. Then only beneath that beam will the tumah go along the entire length of that one beam that has a width, at least of a tefach, as Gemara will later on explain, that only something is only considered oil if it has the width of a tefach, which will then bring tumah to whatever is underneath it in its entire length. However, the rest of the house, meaning in front of it, if we're going on either side of that beam, let's say there's many beams holding up the first floor, so all the beams, since there's a gap between the beams, whatever is past that from the width of that beam will be tahar. And even moreover, whatever is above that beam, which is going to be on the second floor, will also be tahar, because the tumah is only beneath this beam, which, although it creates the oil, it's also chatzitz, it separates from what's beneath this beam and what's above it. So anything beyond this beam, whether it be higher than it or on either side of it, is going to be tahar. It's only what's tachteha that's tameh. Similarly, bein atachtoina lel yoinif, let's say the tumah is between the lower beam and the upper beam. So then, only beinei, and only what's between these two beams, that is between the lower beam and the upper beam, which is right on top of it, is tumah. That's where the tumah is going to be, because the upper beam is creating an oil over the tumah, and it brings tumah along the entire length of just that beam. But anything that's on either side of it in the second story, or beneath it, or above it, will be tahar, because again, this is only the tumah in these two areas, and the other things create a chatzitza, because it's you have a gap on either side of it, and above it, since this beam itself is a tefach, will create a chatzitza, it won't go past that. However, if the tumah is al gabel yoina, if it's on top of the upper, on the over the top beam that there is, I mean on top of the house, then connect adler kia tumah, then opposite towards the sky, all the way up, the tumah will travel all the way up, because there's nothing that's getting in the way, because on top of the house there's no oil of tefach that's being chaitzit. That's one case that the Mishnah in Masechtas Olis talks about, which is, again, when you have the beams that are one on top of the other, you have them directly on top of each other. The second case, which is what we Rav is going to bring his proof from, is hoyol yoinis kibein hatachtoinis. If, let's say, the upper beams were like between the lower beams, which is that they weren't directly one on top of each other. Rather, they were between the beams. So if you have the beams, let's say 1, 3, 5, 7, you would have the upper beams 2, 4, 6, 8. They were in between those gaps. So then halacha is tumah tachtein. If there's tumah underneath any one of the lower beams, then tachas kulon tumah. Then beneath all the lower beams, there's going to be tumah. Because what we say is, and this is the halachic principle, we say regarding all the upper beams, this concept of chavoit rami. And therefore we're lowering them down, so to speak, between the lower ones. And it's as if the whole house is already covered with one contiguous roof. It's one oil, as the Gemara will explain in the Braisa, where we're talking about that the width of the upper beams are in exactly the ear space between the holes of the lower ones. Al-gabehen. And therefore, if let's say if the tumah is on top of any one of them, then connecting al rikiyat tumah, then above them all the way up to the sky will be tumah, because again, we view it as really now one floor. We don't view it as two different floors, and to say that there will be anything else, if it's beneath them, there's going to be tumah on the whole thing, because we view it as one roof. And if it's above them, on any one of them, it's going to be going up all the way to the sky, because we have nothing else that's blocking it going up to the sky. Now, v'tani Allah, we learned regarding this Mishnah Masechtas Olis, we learned in the Braisa that says, "Bamed v'mamum." When did we say that this entire Mishnah would be as it's saying? That was bisman shiyesh behem. That was only when there is in the lower bore, in the lower beams, that there was a tefach, that those beams themselves from the lower, from the first story, were a tefach, wide. Ubeinein peseach tefach. And that between them was also an opening of a tefach. Then the Mishnah will make sense. And that is because that will be appropriate for what we're saying, the halacha of Chavot Rami, which Rashi explains. He says, there are two cases, basically, that the Mishnah was talking about. When they were directly, exactly, one on top of the other, the beam from the first story and the one of the second story. So then when Tumah is beneath one of them, as we said, one of the lower ones, then we said what's beneath that is Tumah, but nothing more. Now the reason is, since that beam is a tefach, and that's what the Bryce is qualifying, they were talking about that the beams are a tefach wide, so then that will transfer Tumah throughout the entire, the long length of that one beam. But it will also be chaitzitz, it will stop the Tumah from going above it. So therefore what's beneath that beam will be Tumah, but what's above it will be Tahar. And the Tumah that's on top of that beam, so he said what's beneath it, the Mishnah continued by saying that then what's beneath it is going to be Tahar, even what's directly beneath the Tumah, because it's chaitzitz, it doesn't allow it to go below. However, regarding the second case of the Mishnah null is, when they're not exact, so he said that since between the beams is a space of a tefach, now the upper ones have the width of the amount of the ear space that's between the lower ones, as we said in the words of the Mishnah, Mesechtas Alos, was hol yoynis kebein ha-tachtoynis. The upper beams are in the exact space of what's between the lower ones, which is opposite that ear space and the same measurement. And therefore, we said that if the Tumah is beneath one of them, the Tumah will go out throughout the entire bayis. And the reason is because then we're going to apply this halachic principle of Chavot Rami. However, the Braisa explains further in that Mishnah, but if there's not between them a space of a tefach, so it comes out, that means that the upper ones don't have a width of a tefach, because we're saying if the space is not a tefach, that means the upper ones, which are exactly in that space, don't have a width of a tefach, then tumah tachas achzman, then if there is going to be tumah beneath any one of the lower beams from the first story, then only tachteh tumah, then only beneath that beam is going to be tumah and not more, because then we cannot apply that halachic principle of Chavot Rami, because it's not a thickness of a tefach. And therefore, beinein, between the lower ones and the upper beams, when they're exact, lined up, one on top of the other, then it's going to be tar. And the same thing would apply also, that when they're not exact, will be v'al gabein, that on top of them, tar is going to be tar, but beneath it is going to be tummy, because since the lower beams themselves do have a tefach, so that will bring the tumah along the entire length of that beam, and it will also separate from the tumah, that whatever is above it will be tahar. However, it will not transfer that the entire house, because the gaps between the lower beams are not the amount of a tefach. So that's what the Gemara concludes, that Rava says, Amma, so you see, ki yisbe tefach, when there is a width of a tefach of the upper beams, which is what we were saying in the Braisa, that there's going to be a pesach, a gap of a tefach between the lower beams, then I'm reading the Chavot Rami. Then we say the halachic principle of that we can lower it and fill up the gaps. Chiles be tefach, but when there's not a gap of a tefach, as the Braisa continued at the end of the Braisa, lo yimrin Chavot Rami, then we do not say Chavot Rami, and that's why only beneath that beam will be tameh, because it has a tefach, but the gaps don't have. Shema minah, so you hear from this what Rav was saying when he was qualifying this halacha, that yes, although Abai is correct, that this halach of Kana Oyle Kana Yared, according to Shmuel's interpretation of the Mishnah, will only be if they're within the space of three tefachim of each other. However, that's only if the upper piece of the schach don't have a thickness of a tefach. If they do, then even if they're more than three tefachim away from each other, it's still going to be kasher, because we're going to say Chavot Rami. Now, Yosef Rav Kahana v'kamal hoshmaita. So Rav Kahana was sitting, and he was saying over this teaching of Rava that we just finished saying. So Amali Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, who was saying this over, he says, is it really true that wherever there's not a thickness of a tefach, we don't say this halachic principle of that we lower it down and we put it to fill up the gap? But Vatani, we learn the Braisa, which discusses the halachas of a mavoi, where regarding a mavoi, there has to be, besides the halacha of shitufim mavoi, so that they have to join together, and we see it as one extended rishos hayachid, so that we could carry in the mavoi, there also has to be either a kaira, a beam that's by the entryway, or a lechi, a vertical stick that's standing up by the entryway, either because as a sign to show that this is different than the rishos harabim that's in front of it, or as some type of mechitza, as if it's a halachic wall. But either way, the Braisa says that Kaira hayotze mikreisel zeh. So if someone's, let's say, putting up a beam, so it goes out from one wall by the entryway of the mavi, but ve'ena gaz bekreisel zeh, doesn't reach all the way to the other wall. Or v'chein shtei karis, for example, let's say there's two beams. Achas yetze mekreisel zeh, one's coming out of one wall, v'achas yetze mekreisel zeh, one's coming out of the other wall. But ve'ena gezubezu, they don't meet, they don't touch each other. So that the price says, Pachis Mishleish on either one of these cases, if the gap is less than 3 tvachim, in a tzarch levi karaches, you don't have to bring another beam. Shleish a tzarch levi karaches, if there is a gap of 3 tvachim or more, then you have to bring another deep beam because we don't see as if the beam is covering the entire width of that mavi. Pshim Gamli Loimer, he argues, he holds that generally, always in the halachic principle of lavid, which is this principle of closing it if it's 3 tvachim, he always holds lavid goes if it's up to 4 tvachim. And that is, so therefore he says, we continue to Amud Beis, he says, Pachas Marba, if it's less than 4 tvachim, in tzarch levi karacheres, even then you wouldn't have to bring another beam. Arba tzarch levi karacheres, but if it's 4 tvachim, then you have to bring another beam. Now the Braisa continues, and towards the end of the Braisa, we're going to use that as the question that Rav Asher was asking Rav Kahana. So the Braisa continues and says, V'chein shtei karis amasimas. Similarly regarding two twin beams, which is, as the Mishnah says in Masechet Seirah, that if you'd gimel mebeis, that a qualifying halacha in this kaira, in this beam that we're talking about, it has to have that the width could receive an ariach. Now, an ariach is a half of a brick that's 3 tefachim. Now, it's enough for the beam to be wide enough, a tefach, to then be able to receive this ariach on its width. Now, the Gemara there asks that it should l'chaira need a tefach and a half, because a half of a 3 tefach brick is a tefach and a half. And the Gemara there answers that it could stick out on either side of the beam a quarter of a tefach, because you have an extra half a tefach. That means on either side is going to be a quarter of a tefach, which is an etzba on every direction. And then you put a little cement, that'll be enough for it to contain, even though it's sticking out, an etzba on either side. Now, and that is what the Bryce is explaining, that if the beam did not have a width of a tefach, so what you do is, if let's say you put two beams side by side, which are twins, that they're like two umim, twins that are side by side, loy bezuka de la kabla riach, this one itself doesn't have enough to receive an ariach. It's not wide enough. Veloy bezuka de la kabla riach, and neither does the other beam have enough width to receive this ariach, this tefach and a half of a brick. Now, im mekablus ariach l'arach be tefach, but if together, when they're side by side, then they're able to contain and to hold the width of this ariach, which is a tefach, then ein tzarch levi karaches, and then, since the beams together will be a tefach, then you won't have to bring another beam. It's okay, even though it's not each one wouldn't be able to, but the two of them together could combine. But vim lav, if that they're even together, they're not going to be wide a width of a tefach, then tzarch levi karaches, then the Tanna Kamma holds, then you have to bring another beam, because even the two together are not accomplishing the goal of being able to receive the width of the ariach. Shem Gamli Lamer, he argues. He says, "Im mekablis ariach la'arkei shleish tefachim." If the two beams can receive the length of the ariach, which is 3 tefachim, because although it's when you cut it in half, it's the width is being cut in half, which is a tefach and a half, but the length is the same of the 3 tefachim. So even though it cannot receive the width when you have them together of a tefach and a half, but the length, there's a way of having it receive the length in 3 tefachim, then in tzarch levi karaches, then you don't have to bring another beam. Now, how can you have that it's receiving 3 tefachim and not a tefach and a half? Is that Reb Shimon is coming to create a leniency, a cool. And he says that even if the two of them together are, you're right, they're not the thickness, a width of a tefach to be able to hold the width of the ariach. But what you could do is that you can distance the two beams from each other, a distance that 3 tefachim of the length of the ariach will be able to stand on it, because your distance, you could do it up to 3 tefachim. Now the trick is that it has to be strong enough, however, to be able to hold the weight and the length of this ariach, which is 3 tefachim. Then that would also be enough to be considering that it could be mekabel in ariach in the length of 3 tefachim, because even though the two of them together are not a width of a tefach, but by distancing it, then you could hold it on that way. That's okay. But vimlav, but if they're not even strong enough to do this eitza of separating them 3 tefachim from each other and holding it in its length, then tzarch levi karaches, then shim lil hold that you would have to bring another beam. Now, this is the part of the braisa that we want for the question that's going to be asked on Rava's pshat, that you only say chavod rami if it's the thickness of a tefach. So the Braisa continues and says, "Hayachas lamala ba'achas lamata." If let's say we're talking about these two beams, again, which we're trying to accomplish, that either like the Tanakama, that together there'll be a width of a tefach, or like a Pshim Gamliel, that you can distance themselves three tefachim and they'll have enough strength to hold it up. But either way, these two beams, that one is higher and one is lower. And that is, they didn't put them side by side on the same plane. Rather, one's high, one's lower. So Rabbi Yisrael Yudaymer, he says as follows. He says, Royin hel yoyna, we view the upper beam, ki'ili hilamata, as if it's lower. Which means to say equal to the lower beam. Or, ve'esachtoyna, ki'ili lamala, that we view the lower one as if it's above, near its counterpart, the one that's higher up. Ublavad. But the qualifying factor is as long as the higher one is not above 20 amas from the ground, which would be invalid for where the kara has to be, especially that's according to the one who says it has to be a hecker, that people don't see what's higher than 20 amas generally. And the lower one can't be lower than 10 tefachim from the ground because the mechitza, if let's say, especially if the halach of kara is halach of mechitza, can't be lower down than 10 tefachim from the ground. So, but if they're within that area, then we're going to say that we'll view them as if they're side by side. And then if, let's say, they have the width of a tefach, according to the opinion of Tanakama, then it'll be kosher for a halacha of a kair. Now, the Gemara concludes the question. But hazev is ebetoich esem, it sounds like, but if, as long as each one is within this area of above 10 tefachim and beneath 20 amas, so even though, if, let's say, the upper one is right by the edge of 20 amas, and the lower one is right by the edge, a little bit above 10 tefachim, that it sounds like that then it would be kosher. So obviously what we're saying is Amrinat Chavat Rami, that we'll be saying this halach of lowering it down, Avagav Delesbe Tefach, even though they don't have a thickness of a Tefach. Again, the whole reason why we have two Kairas is because each one doesn't have the thickness of a Tefach. It's only the two of them together that will combine to create a Tefach. Now, what it seems like we're saying is that as long as they're within this range, we'll be able to say we view them as if they're together. That's based on the halachic principle of chavot rami, which again, similar to gurachas, you're extending it down, just this is one's vertical, one's horizontal, so you bring it the whole thing down. Now, each one is less than a tefach, and yet still we're saying chavot rami, which is not like what Rava said, that Rava said you only say chavot rami if it has at least a thickness of a tefach. So that Amalei sort of kind of responded, says, Taretz ve'imahachi. If you want to resolve it, you have to explain as follows to resolve Rava's interpretation. That when the Brises said Ryan, that we view it, what it meant to say was that if it's less than three tefachim from each other, then we'll say Ryan. And when it said Blavad, was as follows. Ublavad shaloi tehe al yoyna lamala me'asim. As long as the upper beam is not above 20 amas, ele b'teich esim, rather within 20 amas. V'hatachtein esmuchel abepachas mishleisha. But it has to be that the low one is within its range of three tefachim from the upper one. That's what Ryan is. We only say Ryan. We don't say Ryan no matter what the distance is. Because you're right, they don't have a thickness of a tefach. If they don't have a thickness of a tefach, you cannot say chavayit rami. What we are saying is, when we're saying you're lowering it, we Ryan, we see it as if they're side by side, to have a that it could hold a, it can't hold a brick, even if it's two tefachim above each other, because it won't be on the flat surface. So we'll say Ryan when they're within three tefachim of each other, which is the halach of lovin, which is even when they're not a thickness of a tefach. Inami, or also what the Brice was saying was, as long as it was the Bavad, Bavad was that where it has to be within this range, can't be higher than 20 amas, and it can't be beneath 10 tefachim from the ground, rather it has to be above 10 tefachim. And again, the Royin of that, we'll see them together, is only if then the upper one is within it of 3 tefachim from the lower one. Avol. But when there's a distance of shleisha, when there's a gap of three tefachim from the upper beam and the lower beam, then you're right. Kim de lesbe tefach, since obviously we're talking about a case when the beams are not a tefach wide, because if it was, we wouldn't need to see them together. Even one would be enough. Then loyim in chavayit rami. Then we would not say chavayit rami. And it's not a question on Rava, because Rava would explain that this rayin is not that one could be all the way up till 20 amas and one by the edge of 10 tefachim. It means to say that each one is within three tefachim of each other, and then even though there's not a thickness of a tefach, then we're going to be saying the halacha of loved, that we see royin, we see it as if they're flat together, and then if together they combine to a tefach according to Tanakamo, or let's according to Shem Galil, this halacha of getting its length on three tefachim, it would be kosher for the halacha of kaira for a mavi to be able to carry there. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that says, if there is more shade than sunlight in the sukkah, then that's a kasher sukkah. Now, the inference is, hakiya dadi psula, as we already alluded to this in the Mishnah, but it sounds like that if they're equal, not more shade than sunlight, if they're the same amount, then it's going to be pasul. But the contradiction is, v'atanan b'idach perik, and we learned in the other perik, in the beginning of the Masechta, in the first perik, that said, v'shachamasim ru mitzalasa psula, if there's more sunlight than shade, that sukkah is going to be pasul. Now, hakiya dadi ksheira, but the inference of that is, but if they equal sunlight and shade, that's going to be kosher. It's only possible if there's more sunlight than shade. So what's the halacha? So that the Gemara says loy kasher. It's not a contradiction, because kan, over here in our Mishnah, where the inference is that if they're the same, that's going to be possible, is milmala. What that means is that between each piece of schach, there's the amount of space as the schach itself. Even if it's exact, 50-50, it's going to be possible. The reason is because the sunlight that comes through the gap is visible on the ground wider than the shade of the schach. Whereas milmala, whereas Khan over here in the Mishnah on the beginning of the Masechta, on Daf Beis, where we made the inference that when they're equal, that's going to be kosher, there the shir was talking about milmata. We're talking about below. When the sunlight and the shade are equal on the ground, then you know that means to say that the sukkah, that the schach that's on the top, is wider than the gap to the airspace on the top. As the Gemara explains, Rav Papa, that Hainda Amri Inshi, this is what people say, Kizuza Mila El, when you have like a zuz on the top, which means to say that when you have a gap, a space that's wide like the size of a zuz on the top, means ki'istra mulatachas. That means you're going to have the size of a larger coin of an istra below, which means say that the sun is going to be more than the shade beneath below, like the measurement of a selah. And therefore the resolution of the contradiction is that you're right. Both Mishnayos are necessary because they're teaching two different halachas and they're going on different areas. If you're saying that they're 50-50 on the top, like our Mishnah, then it's going to be possible because that means that you're going to be getting more sunlight than shade on the bottom. The Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta, which made it sound like they're going to be kosher, was talking about they're 50-50 on the ground. If they're 50-50 on the ground, then you know that they're more schach than gaps, because the sunlight gets wider on the ground, and therefore if they're only 50-50 on the bottom, that means to say that you have more schach than gaps, and therefore it's going to be kosher in such a case. Now the Mishnah continued and said, Mu'uvakim in bayis, if the schach is as thick as a bayis, as a house, it's still going to be kosher, even though you can't see the stars. Now, Tarabon learned in the Braisa that says, Hamu'uvakim in bayis, it elaborates on the case of our Mishnah. It says, if it's as thick as a house, so even though the stars are not visible from within the sukkah, sure, it's going to be kosher. However, what the Braisa adds is the following machlekes. If ein koich vechama nirus mitecha, if even the stars of the sun, which means to say that when the sun shines on the sukkah, even the rays of the sun are not visible inside the sukkah, then there's a machlekes. Mishame would say in this case it would be possible, because then it's not, you can't compare it to a sukkah, because this is just like a house, you really made like really thick roof, but the Bisil Machshin Bisil would still say it's kosher, it's not a problem, it's still going to be considered. If you put a lot of schach and you can't even see the sunlight, it doesn't make a difference, it's still going to be a kosher sukkah. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission again, continue on this halachas of sukkah. If someone makes his sukkah on the top of a wagon, even though this is something that's mobile and it's not permanent, or on the top of a ship, which is in a very high area on the ocean, and there's no mountains that surround it, and the wind constantly blows in it, and it can totally uproot it. However, still these two cases are going to be kosher, because a dearest aroi is enough for a sukkah, even though they're temporary, and they're something that they're vulnerable to all the elements and they're not permanent. That's okay, because the sukkah doesn't have to be, it only has to be dir sarai. And va'il nabi yamtiv. One could also go up on these sukkahs, go into such a sukkah on yamtiv. Now, Rashi explains that although that would seem simple, because why wouldn't you be able to go into these sukkahs on yamtiv, is only because of the seif at the end of the Mishnah that's going to tell us cases that va'in oilin, that you can't go into such sukkahs on yamtiv. Therefore, we said over here in these cases that oilin nabi yamtiv, you could go into this sukkah on yamtiv. That is because Bereish Ilan, however, if one makes his sukkah, he prepares it like almost like a tree house. He puts his sukkah on top of a tree, and he makes walls, he makes schach, he makes a regular sukkah, but it's on top of a tree, or on top of a camel. Ksheris is such a sukkah is kosher, there's nothing wrong with the sukkah per se, and that is on Chol HaMoed, for example. that you can go and use such a sukkah, or even on Yom Tov, if you violated what we're going to say, that one's not allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov, but if he did go and he has fulfilled his chiyuv, so it's a kosher sukkah. However, ve'ein olam b'yom tiv, however, one is not allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov, and that is because the Rabbanan made a gzera that one's not allowed to go on a tree or to utilize a tree on Yom Tov, because maybe he's going to come to rip off a branch, which would be a malacha d'oraisa, and so too there is prohibition including that, even going on an animal, because the one then might go to do an iser too. So therefore, although it's kosher, one, however, is not allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov. You could go on Chalamayit. But again, if you went in on Yom Tov, you have fulfilled your chiv, because it's a regular kosher sukkah. Now, related to this, the Mishnah says, Shtayim be'ilon. If two of the walls are on the tree, and that is, he has supported the floor of the sukkah, the majority is being supported by the tree. And he made surrounding the walls and this and the floor by the trees. Two walls of the sukkah are being supported by the tree. Ve'achas b'dei adam. And even if one of them is being supported by a man-made wall, which he made on the floor that's from the ground, and he's supporting part of the floor of the sukkah by the middle wall, by the lower wall, which is going up higher, 10 tefachim, which is creating one of the halachic walls of the sukkah, oy shtayim b'dei adam. Or even if he made two of the walls are supported man-made. Ve'achas b'ilan, only one of the walls are being supported by the tree. So k'sheri, either way, the sukkah is going to be kosher, because even if the entire thing is being supported by the tree, it's going to be kosher. But ve'ein olam b'yom tiv, however, you cannot go again still into such a sukkah on Yom Tov, and the reason is because since had the tree been taken away, the sukkah would, at least part of the sukkah, the floor of the sukkah would fall down, because it cannot be supported just by those which were, even the case when two of them are man-made, being supported from the ground, but the third wall is only being supported by the tree. Therefore, even as long as some of it is being supported by the tree, you can't go on that on Yom Tov, because then you're still utilizing the tree, which is usher to do on Yom Tov and Shabbos. However, shalich b'di adam, achas b'ilan, if three of the walls, the majority of the sukkah, is being supported by man-made supports, which have nothing to do with the tree, the achas b'ilan, only one of them is being supported, the fourth wall is being supported by the sukkah, by the tree, then k'sher v'olam yom tov, then the sukkah is kosher, and you can even go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov. As the Mishnah continues on Tabach Chavik Imel Aleph, because Zehaklal, this is the general rule. Kol sheyinot le'ilan, in whichever case that if you took away the tree, v'chei lamed v'fanasman, would be able to be self-supported, then k'sher it's going to be kosher v'olam yom tov, and you can even go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov, because that's not considered utilizing the tree, because although there's a fourth wall, but since it's not necessary for the halachas of the kashas of sukkah, it's only necessary three walls. And those three walls are being supported. That is, if you took away the tree, they would still be standing by the man-made walls, which are from the ground. Therefore, even though it's still on the tree, it's still going to be kosher. That's not considered being mishtamash be'ilan. And you can go into such a tree, into such a sukkah on Yom Tov, and it's not considered being violating that isdra banan of utilizing a tree on Yom Tov.